One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Welcome back to the show. It's around 6 p.m. Friday evening in San Diego, and we're the Degenerate Podcast. I'm Ryan with Dave and Bobby.
What's up?
All right.
Exciting Friday evening.
I got nothing.
All right.
Good week.
This is how lame it is when you get older. Do you remember when you were like 19 through, I don't know, 25? Friday night was a thing. Friday night at that age was Christmas when you were 6 and a half.
Yeah.
It was... I cannot wait. I remember Thursday night, I was sitting around going, oh my God, tomorrow is Friday night.
Thursday night, I'd be doing my homework at my desk in my room like, it's fucking tomorrow. I'm going to drink like 6 Miller Lights.
Oh,
I'm getting nuts.
I'm going to...
See, counterpoint.
Okay.
At the age of 19, I started working in restaurants. And I was in service industry since then. Weekends are shitty when you work in restaurants because even if you happen to get a weekend off, all your friends are working.
Yeah. Now, for me, it was like, living downtown, gonna go party, this is awesome!
See, for me, this is a big weekend for me. My wife's out of town!
Woo!
So that means I get to eat hot dogs whenever I want. That's kind of, you know, you think of it when your wife goes out of town, you think it's going to be like this big risky business moment, you know, and you're going to slide out in your socks and whatever. Really, it's just like you squandering all this free time.
Yeah.
And she just comes home to find you covered in chicken wings and shit.
In your mind, is it like you and everybody playing poker and high-fiving and...
Yeah, and then I don't make plans with anyone because I don't want to be nailed down for my big free weekend.
Right.
And then I hang out with no one. I just do nothing.
Honestly, the greatest part of that is slowly over the course of the weekend, the entire house becomes your bedroom.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah,
it's true.
Well, no. The house ceases to take a form because things like there's dirty dishes in the bedroom.
Right.
There's a comforter in the living room. I don't know where the fucking dog is. But what's been annoying me leading up to her leaving, she went to Vegas to celebrate her best friend's birthday.
Vegas.
And to do a photo shoot out there. And I've been a little bit disappointed in people because I have some people, like friends and coworkers, other comics that like I fucking respect. Or like when I tell them, like, yeah, Aaron's going to Vegas, they go, uh-oh. Like, uh-oh, what?
Does she have a gambling problem?
Right, you know? He's like, ugh.
Does she have warrants in Las Vegas?
I never know. I've gotten like no less than like 11 people have said this one. I'd never let my wife go to Vegas alone. I go, why? Because he'd miss her too much.
Well, more like, what are you gonna do? Dart her? Like as she's going out the door, she's like, all right, I'm not going to Vegas now.
You would
always come back to the blowgun.
yeah, just give me an excuse.
That is weird because what they're insinuating is you can't trust her in Vegas,
right?
Is there some reason that once you get over the Vegas city limits, you automatically go, well, I'm cheating now. Like, I'm an ethical human being that does not cheat on their partner unless I enter a specific city, in which case, all bets are off.
Right. It was very telling how many people just have a shitty marriage.
Yeah.
You know, they're just like, I would never let my husband. Anyway, by the way, both genders, it was male and female, both going like, oh, I would never let my fucking husband go over there. Like, well, if the only thing that's stopping him from fucking putting his dick in someone else is you being there to physically stop it,
yeah,
that's a problem. You should probably explore.
But also, let's just look at this shit, this like stupid logic. If you are with somebody who's going to cheat on you in Vegas, they're also going to cheat on you in Boise. Like, they don't give a shit about what the zip code is.
There's nothing in Boise. Vegas
except
is a
bang,
lot of shit.
Except bang hookers.
The quality of hookers in Boise is very subpar.
I think it's the stigma of, well, she's going to be plied with alcohol and drugs. I'm like, it's still that person's fault if they do that.
Literally, the only good reason to think that is Aaron has a gambling problem. Like, then that's the realistic, you shouldn't let her go to Vegas on her own. If that's not the case, that's a pretty weird thing to think.
Or if she's epileptic and the flashing lights might set her on.
Good point.
Yeah.
She's just catatonic on the strip, just lying there twitching.
Yeah, no, so, but I would really stick it to them. They did go, uh-oh, you're okay with that? You know, I would always pretend to not know. I would make them fully come out and say it like, are you saying my wife is going to fuck another man? Is that what you're saying? Because I want you to come out and say it so I can berate you for it.
Now, if you are a woman saying this about your husband or boyfriend, there is also another legitimate answer. Not just does he have a gambling problem, but because I've thought about this with some of my dude friends when they're like, hey, we're all going to Vegas, and I'm not going that week. I'm just like, please don't get arrested. Yeah. Don't punch a cop horse. Please don't like run out into the middle of traffic naked because somebody told you it would be funny. Like, now, don't do the Vegas shit.
When you say cop horse, is this a horse a cop is riding on?
No.
It is a horse that has been deputized.
Yeah. So he's walking around on two legs. He's swinging the baton.
No, this isn't a fantasy land. He's a deputized horse. He's a Clydesdale that loves the law.
Oh, boy. Speaking of deputized, I fucking ran in to someone that we have talked about, a type of person.
The ShamWow guy.
No. He's coming over Friday, tomorrow, though. We've talked about this group of people before. I think it might be specific to San Diego. The RSVP, the Retired Service
Senior Volunteer
Patrol, which is basically the cops have like a senior citizen program. Let's give the old fart something to do till he dies program. Yes. So, all right. For those of you, just to catch you up, if you're not familiar with what this is, the cops will give these people that are like 70 and older, like an actual cruiser, like a decommissioned Crown Vic.
Yeah, they give them the old Crown Vic that the motor pool has said is not fit for service anymore. Yeah. They're like, it's blown a cylinder, it can't go over 60, and they're like, we know exactly where to put this. Yeah.
Now, here's the thing about that car, though. It may still have the insignia on it for the police.
Yeah.
But it's got an orange light on
top. They give you, they don't put a siren on top. They put like that yellow turning light that like road work up ahead signs have on them. It just, you can't pull someone over with them. You cannot pull someone over with a flashing amber light. So anyways, they give them those. And I used to think that like these guys all used to be cops, retired.
I think that's the case for some of them.
I looked into it. Very few, if any, like because most cops are not going to do the thing they did for got money for 30 years for free once they retire. So it's mainly like guys who were never in law enforcement. Because when I thought they at least used to be, I'm like, I have a shred of respect for you because at least you used to be a bad dude. You know, you used to handle fucking guys. It's not your fault you got old. But these are like 70-year-old retired dentists and shoe cobblers or something.
It's the person who likes to yell at kids to stay off their lawn, but is not content enough to just do that at home. They need to be mobile.
They need to be moving around
yelling at skateboarding kids.
Now, they have zero authority, but they are given a badge, and they are given this cruiser.
But the badge and the cruiser, this is basically the police version of when you have a child and you give them a fake steering wheel on the passenger side of the car so they think that they're driving.
Yeah.
This is the police version of that.
Last three I saw on the road, they had their wife doing a crossword next to them and then riding shotgun. And basically, the only thing they have, because they have no authority, if there's like a traffic accident and like any real police aren't available, they humor them by letting them like block off a street. Oh, and boy, are they overzealous about it.
Like,
hey, you know, pointing at you, waving their finger. Now, the thing is, the police, I guess, thought they were doing a nice thing. They're like, okay, we're going to give people a purpose. You know, it is proven the longer someone works, the longer they live. So, you know, I know that their heart was in the right place, but ever since they started this program, there's just been a rash of stories all over San Diego about like these like 80-year-old corpses fucking trying to police people and trying to flash their badge at people.
Yeah.
And the type of person that would want to do this has something of a personality disorder, and you can't negate that just because they're old and cute.
That being said, it would not surprise me very much at all if Bobby join that program in about 40 years.
Yeah, I could see myself doing it, but I would police...
What?
Vigilante justice.
Yes, because here's the thing. I would police...
You're not allowed to be justice to anyone.
I would. I would do it anyway. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to die in 5 years. What are you going to do, arrest me? Fuck that. No, here's what I would go after. I'd go after...
Wait. Hit the music.
I'd go after the real fucking criminals in this world, because I'm tired of everybody wasting their time on like cold cases of murders and whatnot like this. I want to go after the motherfuckers who deserve it. People who litter out their car window and who don't use turn signals. I'm going to pull you out of the car and beat you like you're fucking Rodney King. I swear to God, I'm so sick of it. I almost do it now.
Oh, my God.
Well, so anyway, the run-in I had was with Bobby in 40 years.
Yeah. Did you litter out your car window? Because then you fucking deserved it.
I was in a hurry to get somewhere. I was in line at the store, and there was actually kind of a long line, and it was the morning. I was late to get to a meeting. I was fucking rushing. But the thing is, even when I'm rushing, I'm going to let everyone in on a secret. You have a license to cut in front of me, and the way you do it is you ask. If anyone comes up to me and goes, hey, man, I'm kind of in a hurry. Do you mind if I jump in front of you? Unless you have a big cart of groceries,
yeah.
9 times out of 10, I'm going to go, yeah, fuck yeah, guy.
See, Bobby uses stink bombs to move up in the line.
No, I couldn't move up in a line. It would break my moral compass.
Long line, early morning rush. And all of a sudden, this guy looks about 75, 76 years old in, like, you know, this baby, all baby blue attire.
Oh, Jesus.
All baby blue attire. This is definitely not a government-issued outfit. Let's keep that in mind. He just goes bypassing the line, just goes right at the front, and a few people start grumbling, and I guess I was the only one that, like, I understand, respect your elders, but let's say something.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, sir, I'm like, line's back there. And then he does this move where he looks at me, waves his hand at me, and goes, eh. And I went, no. No. Line starts back there, about three old ladies back there. And he just goes, no, I'm fine. I'm like, I understand that you came up with that in your head and thought that would work, but no, it's not fine. It's absolutely not fine. I'm like, so finally I had to get stern. I'm like, hey, buddy, back there. Turns to me, moves his jacket back to reveal his little toy badge and yells, San Diego Police Department.
Ryan drops his shit and runs.
Yells at me, San Diego Police Department. And I went, what are you talking about?
Wouldn't it be great if at this point Ryan revealed his own badge that said cop killer and a gun?
I don't want to get caught with that. I get pulled over. Or just...
No, you just keep it for these instances.
No, I told him he should have a badge that says Space Force. And he'd be like, I outrank you, sir.
No, I just looked at him and like I was baffled because I could tell right now that's the same badge they give to the retired volunteer service patrol.
Yeah.
And little kids who like turn in a wallet and
yes.
they deputize them as the integrity deputy. You know?
Ryan leans in and reads the badge. Oh, Officer Fisher Price, nice to meet you.
He's the equivalent of the like 6-year-old kid who got the wings pinned on him by the Southwest pilot.
Yeah.
And he's like starts walking in the cockpit.
Yeah.
I'll take the stick on this guy.
Stand down. Yeah, so I looked at him and I was baffled. The whole line was baffled. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, San Diego Police Department. This is police business. I'm like, what do you mean it's police business cutting in line? He's like, I need to get these items and get down to the police station. And I just stood at him and stared at him and went, no, you're not a real cop.
Did he eventually go to the back of the line?
No, he threw his items on the floor like a little child and stormed out of the CVS.
Wow.
And there is now a warrant out for Ryan's arrest for interfering with police business.
Yeah, he said
obstruction.
I'm like, you're not a real cop. I saw his delusion shatter. I could tell he has been waiting for so long to have the balls to do something like around the rules and flash that badge. And when it didn't work, I could see just his whole day come crumbling around him. It was sad, but also very satisfying.
See, I don't think he had to work anything up. I think he's been doing this for years.
Oh,
I
agree, yeah.
I think you are finally the hero that this city needed. You stood up to
well,
him.
Certainly that CVS.
You know what we should do? Because these guys actually patrol around my neighborhood a bunch. Every once in a while, we should just flag one down. Hey, excuse me. Wait till they pull over. Can you roll down your window? Just want to let you know you're not a real cop. Thanks. Go fuck yourself.
I really want to start doing this, and I'm gonna.
You're not a real cop, and by the way, you guys weren't the greatest generation. You're like one of the worst. Go fuck yourselves. Have fun. You ruined the fucking planet, assholes.
I posted a glimpse of this about my run-in with the fake police on my Facebook, and more of these stories that are happening all around San Diego because of this retarded fucking program. Some guy's like, yeah, my car was out of battery. I flagged one down and asked for a jump. I'm like, what a perfect use for the RSVP and their fucking broken little cars. And the fucking old bastard went, that's not what we do. And like sped off it. The guy was like, I want to chase him down. Like, wait, what do you do?
And
we
I could
cut in line at CVS, damn it. That's what we do.
And I could chase him down because he was old as fuck. So he was going like 4.5 miles an hour. My buddy, this program's been around for quite a while, actually, because my buddy, I think we were still in elementary school at this time. He got caught in the park. I think he was smoking. He was doing something he wasn't supposed to do. He got caught by the senior volunteer patrol, and they were like, hey, come here, you're supposed to be in school, get over here. And he sees the cop car, so he kind of like, fuck it. He walks over, and he just looks, and he like sizes this up, and he's like, this is just a 75-year-old man in a Crown Vic, and he just goes, and he literally just said, oh, I don't have to listen to you, and ran. And he ran to my house. He's like, the old person cops are after me. I gotta hang out here for a while.
You know, I love that, but the only part I don't like that is you gave that guy the satisfaction of him running.
Yeah.
Like, what you need to do is go, oh, I don't have to listen to you, and walk at a leisurely pace. Here's the problem. Slap it to him.
Like you said, they can't actually make an arrest, so the second they see something wrong, they radio it in to the real police. So by the time he's going, hey, come here, blah, 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 there's real cops that are probably, you know, if they don't have anything else to do, might be on the way. You got to get the fuck out of there. But you're not running from that guy. You're running from the real police who are coming.
Again, he's 76. Leisurely pace ought to do it. Oh, especially given the San Diego Police Department response time. That guy will be there tomorrow.
Now, here's what I would like to see. One of those guys who pretends to be a cop in a situation where an actual cop is needed.
Ooh.
Ryan, the hot dog cart incident.
Oh, right. Dude, okay, so Bobby, you mentioned you don't know about this.
Like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Hot dog Rock'em Sock'em robot guy. All right, so.
This seems like an interesting business.
Oh, yeah.
Video surfaced, and I'm going to pull it up for you.
All right, so I just watched it.
All right, yeah. So what you're seeing there is a guy who looks to be about 6'3",
yeah,
with a full beard. And
big dude.
Big dude.
Yoked out, too. Yeah. Not like fat. He's thick. He's a muscular dude.
He's built like an O lineman.
He is he is throwing some fucking soup bones at some women that seem to be 23, 24 and 23 soaking wet maybe.
Did we get some background to this? Why is it called the hot dog cart? Is there a hot dog cart in there?
So what happens there, Bobby? Have you been out and about in Hollywood at like fucking 1 a.m. ever?
Sure, yeah.
All right, so they have those illegals selling hot dogs out of a shopping cart that they've hooked up a propane tank to, basically.
Okay.
And
delicious, by the way.
They're very good. They're wrapped in bacon. I don't care if they're made of rats.
Oh, yeah, so good.
So anyways, he was there. What was known before he was caught, because he was caught, was that he was involved in an argument with the vendor.
Okay.
Over which they did not know. And a woman, one or two behind him, said, yo, move it along. I'd like to buy a hot dog and go home. At which he whirled around and started...
Whipped out a badge and said, hey, police business.
Wait. He whipped around just when she said that. Like, that was his response to being heckled, so to speak.
Yes, because he was fucking badgering this hot dog cart vendor on the street over whatever. It could not have been important.
Okay.
And just started punching the woman that said something.
Yes.
And then another woman tried to get involved, so he throws a right hook. These all seem to be hooks. He throws a right hook at her. Then the other one stands up, he throws a left hook at her, knocks her completely out, and just for good measure, the one that tried to intervene but got knocked down, he returns to her and knocks her out cold. So they're both out cold, everyone's standing around, and this is the part that actually pissed me off the worst, is a bunch of people are standing around filming and not intervening.
Yeah.
They're just going, ho-ho, world star! And so fucking, like,
and then
you know,
he jogs away.
And then he jogs away at the brisk pace that I would run from a retired senior patrol agent. And then, you know, so word gets out about him.
Well, I don't necessarily blame onlookers. That is a large person. He's clearly very violent.
There's like 80 onlookers. It's on Los Angeles Boulevard.
Yeah, but if
you don't want to be the first one.
Yeah, if you don't know what you're doing.
You don't want to be in there and no one backs you up.
If there's an MMA gym next door and there's a bunch of guys out there, then yes, you should blame them. But if they're just regular people, that's a very large man. He's clearly very violent and he's willing to harm people. So that's bad. Few interesting things I noticed. One is, God damn, is he throwing sloppy punches. Like, if it isn't for the fact that this guy has 300 pounds of body mass behind him, none of those are going to do any damage. Secondly, he gets into a weird crouching southpaw stance. When they when they arrested him, did they comment on whether he's left-handed or just shitty at fighting? Like, because that is a shitty at fighting guy move, where you get into the wrong stance because you literally don't know how to throw a punch.
Okay, so they caught this guy, and I was very psyched about that. I'm like, oh, he can't get away with this. They caught him, and he is really trying to let everyone know that he was the victim there. He was the victim.
Did somebody pull out a knife and threaten him? Because that would be that would be an excuse.
KTLA reported the story today. The man who's out on bail after being arrested in a caught-on-video attack on two women in downtown Los Angeles spoke alongside his attorney that he was acting in self-defense and the footage doesn't tell the whole story. Okay, let's see what else happened. Arka Ulajan, 30, of Samar, turned himself into police Tuesday night after the video surfaced. Ulajan said the surreal ordeal, that's my fucking new wrestling name, Ryan the Surreal Ordeal, may jeopardize his job as a cardiograph sonographer? That was a surprise.
I thought you were going to say Carney, and I was like, no, his job's secure.
No, yeah, he was promoted. So he's a cardiac sonographer. That's interesting. The suspect, who police described as being 6'3", tall, weighing 270, yeah, does not deny that he hit the two women. But
that'd be pretty hard to deny.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I love those guys that are caught and go, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, you don't have an option not to be. Does not deny that he hit the two women, but he says the footage that's been widely shared unfairly portrays him as the aggressor. Mm. Quote, I can't believe it happened. I was defending myself. Because I'm a big person, I'm being crucified over social media right now. Dude.
Does he tell what happened that he says it's justified? Like, is he said, like, she came after me with a switchblade and I had to punch her?
I hear a woman just cussing me out from the back. The woman spits on me, and her friend attacks me, physically hits me. So, okay, Orlejohn said he then lost his balance and fell to the ground.
Really?
What? So someone spit on you and you lost your balance? I went, no! No, but she said a friend also hit him.
Okay.
In which case he goes to the ground. And then he says where the women began kicking him.
Really?
These are violent women.
Wow.
Wow. I didn't really know how many people there were or what was going on. When I got up, I just felt like I had to defend myself. That's where the video started.
Well, a couple things. One is, this is why, as any MMA coach will tell you, you got to be quick on the get up. You can't get taken down and stay on the ground. You got to pop up the second you don't want those punches and kicks to the head. Secondly, I can see getting knocked down. If he were throwing punches from the ground, that would be a justified hit. Doesn't matter who's doing it. If somebody's kicking you while you're on the ground, that's justified. Once he's back up again, he's still 270 pounds, and those chicks are still like a buck 20 soaking wet.
Urulogin said he was visiting a friend who works at a lounge near Spring and Sixth, where the incident occurred. Before heading home, he decided to grab a hot dog, but got into an argument with the vendor over the quality. Excuse me.
Wow.
I don't think this hot dog that is being literally grilled on an open fucking shopping cart that's been hooked up to a propane tank unsafely meets the quality that I would expect from $3 American.
How dare he?
Those you said delicious. These were kosher.
What? Who gets into an argument with a hot dog street vendor over the fucking quality?
I'm actually going to reserve judgment on this for about a week, because if the MAGA Kid Indian video has taught us anything, there's 7 more layers to this story that are going to be revealed.
Yeah, we get back to it when we actually see the real video. He did get thrown to the ground. He's being kicked, and they zoom, and it's like Nunes and Cyborg attacking him on the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, oh, man, shit.
Gabby Garcia throws people's elbow.
Yeah, we're all thinking that they're tiny chicks and she's a 260-pound black belt in jiu-jitsu.
Bobby hit him with a blowgun from a block away.
Got him. Should have used a turn signal, bitch.
The only one to help is the RSVP.
Yeah, this is a situation where I want that guy to be president. What is he going to do? What is a 70-year-old man going to do in this situation?
Oh.
Give him a hard candy and tell him a long story.
Yeah, because that's pretty bad, too, because every once in a while you see those YouTube videos where the old people who are so frail end up getting punched in the face or something, and you always just feel so bad because you're like,
do you? You want this to laugh?
I do, because I'm like, 50-50 chance that killed him. Like, either the punch or the fall.
Yeah, but did he just try to cut in line using a toy badge as fucking reason? So because you know, from now on, when I see that, that's what I'm going to pretend.
Dude, that's pretty brutal, man. I was that's fairly shocking just because of the size of that dude. That would be
big. I would be afraid to step to that dude.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but it's also a little embarrassing because reports said the chick's only got slight concussions. So I mean.
I will say this. It is funny that it took him two punches to knock out each one of those girls. Yeah. And that shows that what a sloppy form he is. And if you look, he's ducking down. He's doing it. He's not using his height. He's not fighting tall. He's making so many goddamn mistakes in a southpaw stance, and he doesn't seem very comfortable as a southpaw. So I'm going to say he just doesn't know how to fight.
Well, he won that one. Well, he
doesn't know how to buy hot dogs either. So 0-2.
He doesn't know where to get the quality shit. It's two streets over.
Wait, is there a chance? Remember how we were talking last week about the inmate thing where there was like code? Is there a chance that quality hot dogs, he was in a dispute with the drug dealer?
That changes everything.
Yeah, right? He didn't get the good Coke. It was baby powder. Now he's pissed. That's where it all
and
stems from.
And the chicks were like his enforcers. Yeah. Were like, hey, get this guy out of here.
It was an all-female drug-running business.
Yeah. It was it was like a gang from the Warriors. They just had some weird cast of characters in
Ryan,
there.
All of a sudden, Ryan totally agrees with them getting hit in the face. Like, they sold him bad Coke? Yes. Take him out.
Yeah.
We don't need pieces of shit like you in this world.
No, I'm just sitting there. I'm victim shaming. Like, why didn't you taste it? Anyways, a little story for you guys. So, you know, I run that with that monthly show at the Burning Beard Brewery.
Yeah, great show.
Since I took it over, people started coming up to me, regulars, and saying, dude, there was a show before you took it over. It was horrible. They only did one. And, you know, at first I heard that, I'm like, oh, okay. Which is kind of nice to hear. Right. It's like kind of like your current girlfriend telling you about what a shitty ex you have. Like, I'm fine hearing stories about how someone failed where I succeeded.
Right. But it's also understandable because it's hard to launch a brand new show.
It is.
So at first reaction's like, yeah, I can see that happening.
Yeah, not know, surprising. Maybe someone didn't know what they're doing totally. But the thing is, it kept happening. Like, I expected people to say that the first ever show that went well, like, man, this is a totally different experience. But like months later, it's been a year and people still come up to me like, no, that first show, the one they piloted a comedy show here, I still wake up screaming.
Yeah, they speak about it like a Vietnam experience.
Yeah.
They look around and whisper.
Like, yeah, like the owner's like, yeah, we were going to never do it again. The manager, Shannon, Gus, to try one more time with you. But I'm like,
at one point, we just poured gasoline on the ground. We were going to burn the fucking building down. It was that bad.
At this point, I'm like, this doesn't sound like just your ordinary bad show.
Right.
You know, like a bar show. Because those, it's like, it didn't work, whatever. People were fucking furious. So I'm like...
What can he, like some guy tried to pull a Gallagher, but the watermelon was filled with human feces. Like, how could this be so bad?
So anyways, I was asking him, well, who was the guy? And they're like, I don't remember, you know, so I don't have a name.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, well, who were the comics? I can talk to somebody, like, I don't remember. And like, I'm trying to get
Well, it was more about the shitty hot dog vendor we had out front. Hot dogs were not very good.
I screamed at him and the old hell broke loose. So anyways, finally, last show, Neil Singh, who is middling the show, comes in. He goes, oh, I know this place. I was here at the first one. I'm like, oh, you were here. What happened? He's like, oh, man, that was a shit show. And so I sat him down. I got him his plate of food and a beer and, like, sat him down. Like, you need to tell me what happens. And guys, I understand why so many people a year later are telling me what fucking happened with this thing. Okay, so apparently the guy, his name's like Razzie or something. I don't know.
Isn't that literally the award they give you when you make a shitty movie?
Yeah. And that's, I'm not even coding that. That's his fucking name. I'm like, oh yeah, that guy, he's not really a bunch of a producer or an experienced guy. Okay, so what happened? And so evidently the Burning Beard Brewery gave this guy the same budget that they give me to put on like a really good show for them. So, and you know, that's recouped in the way they sell tickets for just dinner and beer and
sure.
You know, it's a whole package deal.
Right.
So evidently this guy pocketed the entire money that they gave him and doesn't have even a close network of friends to like go to. So he just went to an open mic, a random open mic, and just asked every open micer there, hey, want to be on a show? People that have like never done comedy before. He was just walking up, like people that just got off stage at a random open mic after doing 3 minutes and bombing. He's like, hey, you want to do a show? And of course they said yes.
He's lucky you got Neil.
And then gave every single one of them 15 fucking minutes.
Wow. He's like the Oprah of shitty comics. You get 15 minutes, and you get 15 minutes, and you get 15 minutes.
Just to be clear to people that aren't familiar with stand-up comedy, as a frame of reference, it took me about 3 years to come up with a solid 15 minutes.
But the funnier part about this is the audition is easier than the actual gig because you're doing 3 minutes at an open mic
right.
with zero feedback in terms of did you do well or not, and you get 15 minutes on a booked show.
Yeah. So then he overbooked. Well, he just said everyone at this open mic gets 15 minutes, which leads to like a 3-hour shit show
wow.
of people. I heard some of the names. I don't want to embarrass them because it wasn't their fault. They got a deal they couldn't handle.
Yeah.
But like these dudes don't have 3 minutes, dude. And they were doing five times that and having no self-awareness to go, this isn't going well. I'm getting off early. I'm not getting paid anyway. So anyways.
Do you ever think that when that happens that somebody should start doing the same thing they do when they like filibuster in the Senate, you know, where they're like,
to start reading Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, or they're like, we have to kill a bunch of time. Here, let me get out the white pages. I'm going to read you the list of constituents that will be mad if this bill passes.
Yeah.
Abrams, Andy.
So anyway, it doesn't stop there. And in the meantime, this fucking kid has, Razzie has no concept that like, anyone's on to his game. He thinks it's going swimmingly. He's just in the back counting hundreds of dollars they gave him to do this. And fucking, as this is all going on, Neil, who agreed to do it just for the stage time, some girl comes up to him like backstage and goes, I'm really nervous. This is my first time ever being on stage. The guy just promised
wow.
some random chick he was trying to bang 15 minutes on a book show.
Well, he ran out of mic, so I started talking to the audience members. You've seen a comedy show. You can do 15 minutes.
Oh, but it doesn't end there. Everyone that paid to see this essentially the worst open mic in history all paid $20 a ticket.
What?
That's why they give them the budget.
What?
Like, here's hundreds of dollars, but, you know, we're going to recoup that with our ticket sales. They sold, you know,
wow.
they sold a lot of them. So imagine paying $20 a ticket for the privilege of seeing someone who's never been on stage before do 15 fucking minutes.
To see it's the amazing. Worst open mic you've ever been
ever
the
seen.
Worst.
Because
absolute
at least
worst.
In open mics, number one, it's free.
Yeah.
But number two, they
shorter
only get
sets.
Three
yeah.
fucking minutes,
yeah.
which is all they need to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds just ridiculous.
Oh, and so all of a sudden it all made sense.
That's a great deal. I got to start running shows.
Wait, did Neil tell you if by the end there was anybody left, yeah, like at the end of this 3-hour
not
show?
Not many, man. People just walked away from that $20 ticket and went,
wow.
I fucking can't. And they swore to like never come back. So that's why we've had to like, earn their trust back since I took over. Like, no, I spent the money on comics.
You're not the abusive boyfriend. I swear I won't hit you.
And also at open mics, with the open mic format, the way the venue makes money on that is the comics buy drinks while they're waiting
yeah.
Yeah.
3 hours to go up. They were giving those beers to them for free because they thought they were pro comics who were paid to be there.
Wow.
Oh, man. It makes sense why people a year later are like, it was so bad.
Yeah. Oh,
it
yeah.
ruined
That's awful.
My year.
Speaking of that, where all of a sudden you think back and go, oh my God, that was so horrible. I had a moment this week, and I want to talk to you guys, see if you guys have had this before. I was literally just driving along.
I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to guess you have many, many, many moments where you think back and like, oh my God, that was terrible.
Oh my God, that was horrible. I was driving along on the 8. I remember something that happened a long time ago, and I suddenly realized that I had no idea what was happening until that exact moment. So this story takes place 15 years ago.
So
however,
something happened 15 years ago, and you just now realized what was
just
happening.
Just now realized.
Okay.
In fact, it's actually closer to 10 years ago, probably, but
okay.
just now realized what was happening.
Hey, man, I hear you. I drink.
Yeah. So it was funny because I was thinking back to these Irish girls that I knew. They in Berkeley, during the summer times, everybody moves out of the fraternities, and for whatever reason...
Just so I know how you felt about them, what weight were they?
They were all gorgeous. But
so pretty big.
So no, 2 and a half then?
No, unfortunately, they did not have the appropriate girth. But they were beautiful, beautiful girls. Right. And for whatever reason, during the summertime when all those students leave, Berkeley just gets inundated with the Irish. It's just filthy Irish everywhere. They all come...
Really?
Yeah, they all just come. They live in all the fraternities and the dorms and everything, and they work and they hang out and they have fun, and it's great times.
Sublet the dorms of these?
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Oh, okay.
And so I've had a lot of fun consecutively with a lot of summers with a lot of Irish people. But the summer after,
no wonder we're buddies.
Yeah. After the summer after I left, this gaggle of incredibly gorgeous Irish girls all came to live in my old fraternity, and I would occasionally go visit, and they knew me because they knew what room I lived in. I had very specific decorations and whatnot, so they knew me, and they were excited, and we hung out, and it was great, and they were friends with my friends, and it was a really good time. eventually they came down to come stay in San Diego and just visit some people. And we were hanging out a little bit. We had a great time. We had a fun night. We were going and walking along the beach in PB, and there was me, one of my other buddies, and like six of these girls. And I remember we were all just fucking around on the beach.
So how many did you hook up with?
None. Zero. And here's why. Yikes. So we were fucking around on the beach. They kept saying like,
metaphorically speaking.
Yeah. Well, they kept doing this thing where they'd come up behind me. At the time, I had just finished teaching self-defense. That was actually my job.
Oh God, did you fucking throw a fist and break one of their noses?
Kinda. So like, they would do things like they'd come up behind me and like get me in a bear hug from behind. They're like, oh yeah, what would you do here? And I would go, okay, well here, you peel the wrist and you move and that kind of stuff. And then it led to them like literally Pink Panther style, like diving after me when I wasn't expecting it, and I would try and like wrestle them down and stuff. Yeah, yeah. And at one point, I just remember there was like three of them jumping after me, and I was like, oh, sweet.
And they were naked. And
no, I was like,
so he didn't know how many there were. He just started throwing punches because you don't know.
You don't know.
Trying to get a hot dog here.
It wasn't too different. I hip tossed the shit out of some of them. Now we're on the beach, right? So it's all in good fun. You're just throwing them on the ground and stuff. And
yeah, wet sand doesn't feel like pavement if you hit it wrong.
I was just thinking about myself as I was driving down, and I was like, God, that was fun, man. You know, just being kids running around on the beach. And then I realized, wait a second, why were those girls jumping on me? And then I realized, oh, holy fuck, they were flirting with me. Like, you look back now as an adult, and you're
absolutely.
Like, they were absolutely, and they were like, I'm flashing back to individual moments where they're like, hey, yeah, you should come back to the hostel we're staying at and, like, show everybody all the cool judo flips.
Giant
and
I'm
like,
American penis.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, nah, I got other stuff to do. See you, ladies. And absolutely zero idea of what was going on. But when I look back, all the dots connect, and I realize, like, oh my God, there was a whole bunch of beautiful ladies that were absolutely flirting with me, and I was so stupid and naive at that age, at like 22, that I couldn't even see it.
That's funny.
Have there been times when you guys have had this in your lives where you did not realize somebody was flirting with you?
Before we answer that question, that totally reinforces the stereotype that people love when someone plays hard to get.
Really? Like yeah,
all
that's true.
After you. You kept 100%. Turning them down, like blowing them off,
hip
and they're
tossing,
still
yeah.
after you.
Oh yeah, totally. And dude, I got some wicked throws on these chicks. Let me just tell you.
Really, that's the thing. He would have enjoyed that more than sex.
Well, I got to admit, I was pretty psyched when I was driving home that night. I was like, big smile on my face. I was like, ooh, I haven't worked that inside leg reap in a long time, but I fucking nailed that chick.
Macho man.
Your single leg sucks, Caroline.
I did when I once hooked up with a girl that was way out of my league. At a bar, we had just met, and it's not that I didn't know, because we did make out. However, I had this fucking dumbass reason. We sat in her car, she drove me to my car, and she goes, this was in North Park, and she goes, you know, I live in Claremont, you want to just come back to my house and have a fun night? And I went, I got work in the morning, though. And I'm like, can we do this tomorrow? And I'm not realizing, this is a girl that is slumming it and
right.
and settled for you.
Yeah.
This is not someone that
you do not give her time to come to her senses.
Right. Yeah. That's how, yes.
There is a fire sale that just happened. They're going to sell you this at half of retail cost if you buy it in the next 10 minutes.
This is a bird in hand, and I was looking for two in the book. And so I was literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
And so I just went like, huh, I've had a few to drink, and I have to follow you there. I don't want to risk a DUI. And then, oh man, I have work in the morning. A job that I had tons of sick time at. It was my job was not in jeopardy. I could have easily called in and said, yeah, flu, and hung up and been fine. And so the next day, like even at work, I'm like, what did I have to be at work early tomorrow? What the fuck? So I had her number. I texted her, nothing back. There was a few like. Sorry, gotta work. Sorry, can't. And then, you know, after like four or five or a hundred of those, you just give up. And then, like, you know, I still think about it. I ran into her at a bar, like, when I was still single, like, in between the girl I was dating before I met my wife and my wife, just right in that pocket there. I ran into her bar, I'm like, hey, remember me? And she went, kind of, and just kind of like walked off. Like, I like reached up to the heavens like, no, work in the morning.
At least you were smart enough to figure it out the next day. You know, like at least it didn't take you 10 years of all of a sudden.
No,
all
I've
of a sudden...
been fucking dealing with it for 10 years. I can't look at that bar in North Park. It's called the Red Wing. I can't look at it. I cannot look at it anymore. Sometimes my friend John likes to have lunch there. I'm like, no, I had to look at that bar where I was the biggest fucking idiot I've ever been.
It's funny because I think
back. You gotta hook up PTSD.
Yeah, it's funny because I think back and I'm like, man, that was really dumb of me. But also, it was a sweet hip toss, though. So I think I still won.
Yeah, and you got that hot dog.
Yeah. Dave, what about you?
Yeah, I had one. I don't remember how long it took me. It took me a few years, I think. But back in high school, there was this one chick in particular we would hang out a lot, you know, friends. We had our circle of friends. So her and I would hang out. And we went to see a movie one time. Just her and I forget what movie, but we went to see a movie. And so, like, within the next day or two, a bunch of my friends would be like, hey, I heard you and Melanie were making out in the movie theater. And I was like, no, we weren't at all. Why would you think that? Not knowing that she was telling people that because she liked me and she was trying to set something up. And I was oblivious. No, that's not what happened. No, we didn't make that. No. No, we didn't do that.
No, and she's a whore for saying that.
So we went and punched her and then had a fucking Hebrew national.
Yeah, God, it made me think for a little bit, like, man, think of all the games we play, both guys and girls, especially at a young age, teens, early 20s. Think of all the fucking games we play. Oh, I don't want them to know I like them, so I'm not going to show them directly. Oh, that chick's beautiful, but I got to neg her so that she'll like me. What if we just lived in an honest society? What if we just lived in some kind of radical world where you could walk up to somebody and be like, hey, I find you attractive. If you'd also find me attractive, maybe we could hang out a little bit. To be perfectly honest, I'm not really looking for a girlfriend, but I'll take you out on a few dates and be really nice to you, and hopefully we can bang. Like, what if that was just the way life works.
And so in my story, that girl going to come to me like, look, I'm way hotter than you. Yes. I realize that. You're kind of ugly, but you're like ugly hot, you know? So like, it kind of like in a weird way. So it's appealing to me right now because I'm about 4 drinks in. Tomorrow I'll regret it. I understand that. But I've also just broke up with my girlfriend, my boyfriend. So I'm looking to get a rebound here. Now's your chance, now or never. I'm not going to call you tomorrow.
Yeah. Some girl walks up to you at a bar. I am drunk enough to find you attractive, but not enough that this would be weird if I had sex with you right now.
Right, right.
Bobby,
right.
I feel like the type of honesty you're describing, though, I feel like that's dangerous close to the dick pic culture we live in. Here's my dick. What do you think?
Yes or no?
Because even that is not like honesty. It's just creepiness. Like, if you were just being honest with that person, you would actually go up and tell them, hey, I find you really attractive and I'd like to be involved with you in any way that could work out. How would you feel about that? And then they could tell you and then you wouldn't have to send them a dick pic.
So I could just go up and be like, hey, listen, I'm not over my ex, but you kind of look like her. And there's a chance we could have some fun sex tonight, but I also might start crying thinking of some other guy doing this to her, wherever she might be. Oh, God, Karen, why won't you come back to me? Yes or no?
Yeah, I really like this idea. I want to do like a Match.com or Plenty of Fish, but the way it works is you have to be brutally honest about yourself and what you're looking for.
Okay.
And it gets reviewed. Like, if you are not honest, we have some kind of overall judge.
It's like a secret shopper that like goes on that Tinder date with you.
Yeah.
And then like you show up like, all right, this is a pick from you from 09 or earlier, so I'm sorry.
No, Bobby's not even going to need the secret shopper because he's just going to call the website sodiumpentothal.com.
You're like, we just checked on your profile. You're going to have to add 25 pounds and take off 2 inches. You know what I mean.
Yeah. They get there, the girl's like, so I lied a little bit. So what? All of a sudden a dart goes into your neck.
I like that. I like it. We'll call it honest dating.
Yeah, yeah. So, someone's like reviewing Dave. Like, says here you're a comic. You work at a comedy club, but
yeah.
Before we get out of here, I want to say one thing as a little takeaway is I saw this in the news on my way over here, is that there was a restaurant up in I believe Northern California that's refusing to serve food to people in Make America Great Again hats. They are banned.
Saw that, yeah.
If you go in there with one of those, you're banned. Conservatives are very upset. They believe it's very discriminatory. And to those people, I just want to say, find a new bakery. I mean restaurant. Where did I get bakery from? That's weird. Just don't give them your business, right? Isn't that the plan?
Is this like a small town or is this in like a big city?
I'm not sure. But
I forget, but the legal ruling was that being a MAGA hat person, is not a protected class.
No, because it's a political
race, religion, creed.
Right.
It's just you're an asshole. We don't want to serve you.
It's, yeah, and it's a political affiliation, and theoretically you could take off that hat. You have the freedom to wear it, but it's not distinguishing in that you wouldn't be able to get rid of it like right. you would your gender or your
how
race.
How about that I just we force them to, and then I'll make a bunch of apples to oranges comparisons about Muslims having to force feed me bacon or whatever.
Though I would say, like, I wonder if that's a good business move or a bad business move. Because obviously now all of a sudden you have a smaller client base, right? Like you.
For
have
me, I'd be like, I don't care.
You've taken out some client base, but then also you get a lot of free publicity. Like if that's a national news story that you're reading here in San Diego, you've essentially done a commercial that has made it national.
Yeah,
you've probably taken out the part of the customer base that doesn't tip very well. So the staff is fine with that.
So anyways, yeah, just like you told them queers to find another pizza place, you told them queers to find another bakery, find yourself another restaurant. All right, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week. Cruising with the twos. Are you saying my wife is going to fuck another man? Is that what you're saying? Because I want you to come out and say it so I can berate you for it. Yeah, time passing by. Oh,
motherfucking time is passing by.
I would do it anyway. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to die in 5 years. What are you going to do, arrest me?